GoDaddy.com. Use the code PODSAVE, that's PODSAVE 139, for $5 off of orders that are $30 or more. GoDaddy.com. Tango Tango Papa 1127, August 3rd, 2009.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
from MusicAlley.com, formerly known as the PodSafe Music Network. The name of that group is 3CE, and the name of the song is Fall Asleep. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from a service plaza along the Indiana Turnpike in far northern Indiana. There wasn't a podcast last night. Saturday evening, I ended up dropping and hooking there at Manchester, Pennsylvania, near York, Pennsylvania. And as it turned out, they sent another load offer that picked up at Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania, which is still in the kind of the central, south central Pennsylvania area. And that's going to, that delivers Monday morning at Manteno, Illinois. So, as it turns out, as soon as I left Manchester, I had to get the trailer washed out. Had to be washed out and full of fuel. So the only trailer wash that I knew of that would be open late Saturday evening was over in Carlisle, Blue Beacon Truck Wash over there. So I immediately went over to Carlisle, got the trailer washed out, filled the truck up with fuel, and then went back over to Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania, and dropped and hooked, picked that load up, and then made it, I can't remember the name of the town, but there's this truck stop kind of somewhat north of the Harrisburg area. I can't think of the name of it, but it's along Highway 322, so it might be north and west of Harrisburg. Spent the night there and then got up this morning and got moving, and so I made it up here to northern Indiana. And then, once my 10-hour break is over, then I'll get up and get moving again and get on over to Manteno, Illinois before, hopefully by 10 a.m. That's when, it's an appointment time, even though it's a drop and hook at Manteno. It was set in there as an appointment time, 10 a.m. So I should be, barring traffic problems, I should be able to make it over there. So, should work out. I've got several more pieces of audio to play. Plus, let me just go real quick through a few little news headlines that I've kind of been saving. Kind of think they're sort of interesting. And anyway, this first one, Venezuela, freedom of expression must be limited. Caracas, Venezuela. Venezuela's top prosecutor insisted Thursday that freedom of expression in Venezuela, quote unquote, must be limited, and proposed legislation that would slap additional restrictions on the country's news media. The new law would punish the owners of radio stations, television channels, and newspapers that have attempted to cause panic, quote-unquote, and, quote-unquote, disturb social peace, Attorney General Luisa Ortega said. It would also punish media owners who manipulate the news with the purpose of transmitting a false perception of the facts. Freedom of expression must be limited, Ortega said. Ortega urged lawmakers to consider her suggestions as they debate a bill that would punish as yet undefined quote-unquote media crimes. The National Assembly, which is controlled by allies of President Hugo Chavez, is expected to approve the measure in coming months. Jose Miguel Vivanco, America's director of Human Rights Watch, warned the proposed legislation would be a terrible regression for freedom of expression. They're trying to increase penalties for expressions that could be considered offensive for authorities, Vivanco said in an interview broadcast by RCN Radio in Colombia. Carlos Larrea of the New York-based Committee to Protect Journalists called the bill reminiscent of the dark days of Latin American dictatorships with its archaic provisions for so-called media crimes. Chavez's administration is slowly tightening its grip over the news media, raising concerns among watchdog and human rights groups that accuse the government of trying to stifle dissent. Venezuela's Telecommunications Commission notified 50 radio stations earlier this week that their broadcast licenses could be revoked because they failed to update their registrations. Commission Chief Cabello said a final determination of the licenses will be made following investigations. He said authorities might also seize broadcast equipment. Nearly 200 other broadcasters that did not meet the June deadline to register will also be investigated but have not yet formally been notified, Cabello said. Broadcast regulators have also opened a series of investigations into Globovision, the only strongly anti-Chavez channel remaining on the open airwaves. Station Vice President Carlos Alberto Zuagala, something or other, accused Chavez on Thursday of deciding to shut down Globovision. He's just looking for the way to diminish political cost, Zuloga said at a forum in Washington organized by the Libertarian Cato Institute. Chavez denies that he intends to silence critics, saying his government fully respects freedom of expression. Well, see, he's saying one thing and then he's doing another, because I've got another article here that essentially says that they're closing down stations. Let's see here. Skype could be cut off for good over dispute. And so apparently, without reading the article, Skype, of course, eBay bought Skype, for probably a couple of billion dollars. A few years ago, they bought Skype from the guys that invented it. The people that invented it were the people behind Kazaa, the peer-to-peer application. I don't know if Kazaa is still around or not. I have no idea. It was popular a few years ago. Yeah, people were using it to illegally share music. And the people that invented Kazaa went on to invent Skype. Then they sold it to eBay for a couple of billion dollars. But now they're saying that eBay has violated the terms of the license agreement and so on and so forth, and so there's a big legal dispute going on, and so they've said, well, you know, eBay can't use the thing that makes Skype work anymore. So, you know, the software or the print, you know, I guess they've got a intellectual, you know, it's kind of ironic, you know, they're whining about their intellectual thing, Skype or eBay misusing it, and they were the developers of Kazaa. So anyway, it'll be 2010 before this gets resolved, and so in the meantime, Skype might go away sometime in 2010. That's possible. There are alternatives. Google's got a thing that's if you've got a Gmail account, there's a Google, I don't know what they call it, because Google Voice is actually, it used to be Grand Central. Google Voice is actually something different that works with actual telephones. I guess it might be called Google Chat or Google Voice Chat or something, but that actually works pretty well. Talk to Ed Ovette down in Florida, podcaster down in Florida, one day with it. And I think I've also talked to Michael Dell with it, podcaster up in Michigan. And so with the Google, that voice chat works really well. So, you know, if Skype goes away, there are other alternatives. And I don't know. I kind of suspect they'll probably keep it going. But so we'll just have to wait and see. Let's see what else there was. U.S. recession worst since Great Depression, revised data show. And basically what this article is talking about is the... You know, they're always releasing these figures, you know, about the economy after the fact. And then now they've revised the figures downward. So, in other words, it's worse than they said initially. Now, it's kind of interesting. You know, they're trying to, when they release these figures, apparently they're trying to put as positive a spin on them as possible. Because then they end up making them worse later. You know, they realize, oh, these were worse than we said to begin with. But when things are, usually when things were growing, you know, you remember when things were growing, then they'd release the figures and like as not, they'd be, oh, these were better than we said. You know, so it's kind of funny how when things are going down, they... you know, they're kind of misestimating it in the other direction, you know, and then they come back later and say, oh, this was worse than we said. So, anyway, we all know that out here in the real world, we know that things have been kind of bad. Let's see what else there is. Oh, this is another thing about Venezuela. Venezuela begins shutdown of 34 radio stations. Chavez says stations no longer belong to the bourgeoisie, calls closure part of effort to democratize airwaves, quote-unquote. Critics say the move attacks freedom of speech. Caracas, August 1st, and this is from Reuters, more than a dozen of 34 radio stations ordered shut by the Venezuelan government went off the air Saturday, part of President Hugo Chavez's drive to extend his socialist revolution to the media. The Association of Radio Broadcasters said 13 stations had stopped transmitting following an announcement Friday night by government broadcasting watchdog Conatel that 34 radio outlets would be closed because they, quote-unquote, failed to comply with the regulations. Critics said the crackdown infringed on freedom of speech and that the owners were not given the right to a proper defense. They're closing the space for dissidents in Venezuela. William, I can't pronounce that, head of the National Council of Journalists told RCTV, a private cable TV station which did not have its broadcasting license renewed in 2007. Chavez has defended the closures, calling them part of the government's efforts to democratize the airwaves. We haven't closed any radio stations. We've applied the law, Chavez said on a state television. We've recovered a bunch of stations that were outside the law that now belong to the people and not to the bourgeoisie. Chavez reporters or supporters say they are waging a quote-unquote media war against private news companies and have denounced in recent days what they say is a renewed offensive by privately owned domestic and international media to discredit Venezuela. And so this kind of goes on and on and on. But basically, what you can really take away from this is that socialists slash communists don't like to be criticized. And just keep that in mind. As we go forward, we've got communists in charge of the United States government at this point. And just keep that in mind. They don't want to be criticized. They don't want any kind of criticism. You know, they just want to do what they do, and you're supposed to just believe whatever they tell you to believe. They don't want any criticism. For those of you who want nationalized health care, this is an interesting little article. This is from the telegraph.co.uk. Patients forced to live in agony after NHS refuses to pay for painkilling injections. Tens of thousands with chronic back pain will be forced to live in agony after a decision to slash the number of painkilling injections issued on the NHS, doctors have warned. The government's drug rationing watchdog says the quote-unquote therapeutic injections of steroids such as cortisone, which are used to reduce inflammation, should no longer be offered to patients suffering from persistent lower back pain when the cause is not known. Instead, the National Institute of Health and Clinical Excellence, NICE, oh, what a wonderful name, National Institute of Health and Clinical Excellence, NICE, N-I-C-E, is ordering doctors to offer patients remedies like acupuncture and osteopathy. Specialists fear tens of thousands of people, mainly the elderly and frail, will be left to suffer excruciating levels of pain or pay as much as £500 each for private treatment. The NHS currently issues more than 60,000 treatments of steroid injections every year. NICE said its guidance it wants to cut this to just 3,000 treatments a year, a move which would save the NHS £33 million. But the British Pain Society, which represents specialists in the field, has written to NICE calling for the guidelines to be withdrawn after its members warned that they would lead to many patients having to undergo unnecessary and high-risk spinal surgery. Dr. Christopher Wells, a leading specialist in pain relief medicine and the founder of the NHS's first specialist pain clinic, said it was entirely unacceptable, quote-unquote, that conventional treatments used by thousands of patients would be stopped. I don't mind whether some people want to try acupuncture or osteopathy. What concerns me is that to pay for these treatments, specialist clinics which offer vital services are going to be forced to close, leaving patients in significant pain with nowhere to go. The NICE guidelines admit that evidence was limited for many back pain treatments, including those it recommended. When scientific proof was lacking, advice was instead taken from its expert group. But specialists are furious that while the group included practitioners of alternative therapies, there was no one with expertise in a conventional pain relief medicine to argue against a decision to significantly restrict its use. So this article goes on and on, but they want, you know, take away from that they want to cut their costs and they want to ration that, you know, anytime they cut costs like that, a bureaucracy, they're talking about rationing. And that's where you're headed here in the good old U.S. of A. If that's what you want, if you want the national health care, you're going to have rationing, whether you believe it or not. So, let's see, what else is there? Obama officials, no guarantee taxes won't go up. Let me see. Get rid of that noise there. Obama administration officials can't guarantee middle-class Americans won't see a tax hike. Washington, President Barack Obama's Treasury Secretary, said Sunday he cannot rule out higher taxes to help tame an exploding budget deficit, and his chief economic advisor would not dismiss raising them on middle-class Americans as part of a health care overhaul. As the White House sought to balance campaign rhetoric with governing, officials appeared willing to extend unemployment benefits, with former Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan saying he is quote-unquote pretty sure we've already seen the bottom of the recession. Obama aides sought to defend the economic stimulus and calm a jittery public. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner and National Economic Council Director Larry Summers both sidestepped questions on Obama's intentions about taxes. Geithner said that the White House was not ready to rule out a tax hike to lower the federal deficit. Summers and Obama proposed health care overhaul needs funding from somewhere. There is a lot can happen over time, Summers said, adding that the administration believes it is never a good idea to absolutely rule things out no matter what. During his presidential campaign, Obama repeatedly vowed you will never see any of your taxes increased one single dime, but the simple reality remains that his ambitious overhaul of how Americans receive health care, promised without increasing the federal deficit, must be paid for. If we want an economy that's going to grow in the future, people have to understand that we have to bring those deficits down, and it is going to be difficult, hard for us to do, and the path to that is through health care reform, Geithner said. We're not at the point yet where we're going to make a judgment about what it's going to take. So, you know, this goes on, but they want to raise taxes, you know, and, you know, they're communists. They're communists. They want to destroy the economy. They want to, you know, create as much economic chaos as possible so that you'll clamor for the government to save you. And, you know, so you want to know where you're headed? Just kind of look at the former Soviet Union and you have a good idea. Let's see what else there is here. That's probably about all of the interesting articles that I found online. So I've got some audio clips here, and this first one that I'm going to play was is from Michael Moss, and he's, I think it's about, let's just go ahead and play it, and then, you know, I don't know if I'll do a stop start on it or not, but anyway, here's Michael Moss.
Hello, Michael Moss here. Putting this quick post up for y'all. As we continue to progress with the Posted Cast and other podcasts connected to the Posted Cast, if you go on Facebook, we have a group set up called Plain Dudes Radio. And that's what we're calling at this point in time. And basically, it's going to be a compilation of just us plain folk getting together. You know, we may be simple folk at appearance, but we have a lot of things to say about even the most complex of things. We're going to have topics of discussion and go back and forth with feedback, with an MP3 or voicemail or what have you. So I'm putting this out on the PostyCast feed because I like to hear some MP3 audio feedback from your listeners out there. Or you can join up on Plain Dudes Radio Facebook group as well. I'm also going to put this link, the MP3 link, to this this little quick update here on Plain Dudes Radio so we can all get some feedback on it. So the guys who are already the admins of Plain Dudes Radio, and I'd definitely love to hear your audio feedback on this either through the voicemail number, which is, by the way, 206-426-7362. Again, 206-426-7362. Or you can try to send an MP3 at postedcast@gmail.com, so it's not too big. I do have a Dropbox account as well. If you want to send it to me through Dropbox, just let me know on Facebook or my email there. We can get that set up as well. But the topic at hand here that we're going to do for the future edition of the audio feedback section here of the PostedCast, and like I said, this Plain Dudes Radio that we're doing eventually is going to become a podcast as well, where we're going to be doing this type of stuff. Involves marriage and what sanctions marriage, and is certain types of marriage, are they viable? Are they considered viable in the eyes of God, but in the laws of nature? And it's basically stemming from this this audio feedback that I got here from Scott from ScottPodcast.com. So, take a listen to this, and then let me know what you think. So here's Scott.
If marriage is God-based, if that is the main definition of marriage, okay, then I submit to you, there are a lot more people out there that aren't married than just the gays, who, let's say, we don't let them get married because God doesn't agree with their kind of marriage, and he won't marry them. And it looks like it's that way in the Bible to me. But does God marry atheists who don't believe in him? There are a lot of them out there. What about if you're were a Christian when you got married and something really got you upset and you basically rejected God and now you're an atheist? Are you now divorced? Tell me about marriage and God. I want to know from a Christian's point of view, because I don't think we're handling it that way. I don't think that the law is handling it that way. I don't think the law says that you have to believe in God and you have to be right with God to be married. And if that's the case, there is no reason, at least from that angle, that gays can't be married. Because it doesn't have anything to do with God. And if it is going to have something to do with God, then our system needs to build that in and say, sorry, atheist, you cannot be married. And if you become an atheist, you must get divorced. You are divorced. And that's the way it ought to be, right? I just thought I'd toss that in there because it's true. Now, if it's not about God, then I'm not sure what it's about. Because now you get into all this mumbo-jumbo stuff about what they're thinking in their heads and what their philosophy of life is, or heaven knows what. Or you get into this whole argument that it's not natural. And marriage is a natural thing, and marriage between two people of the same sex are unnatural. Now, that's an interesting thing, too. What does unnatural mean? Against nature, it never happens in nature. I've heard people say that. You know, in Mother Nature, male animals do not hang around with male animals. Female animals do not mate with female animals. They don't hang out. It doesn't happen, right? Guess what? Wrong. I was listening to the Skeptics guy the other day, and I looked this up because I wanted to see it. I didn't put this in my podcast, but they always play this game at the end of that podcast. I really like that podcast. If you want to get a dose of some reality, I don't agree with all their political points of view, but you know, they're basically science-based. And I'm at the bottom of the stack of scientists.
Well, let me interrupt before, you know, because I'll just respond to this while I'm thinking about it. Sure, there are animals that, you know, I don't know. I know there's examples of it. But there are animals that kind of mess around with other, you know, same-sex animals. You know, so, you know, if human beings want to be animals, then we can. We're, except, you know, human beings actually, human beings can sink lower than a worm's belly. Human beings can, there's no depth to which human beings can't sink. And so human beings can end up kind of falling into an animal nature. But, you know, it's very simple, you know, to determine, you know, if is, you know, man with man or a woman with a woman, you know, it's real simple to find out whether, you know, what, you know, how do you determine whether that's right or wrong? You go to your grandkid. You know, what kind of reaction do your grandkids have to that? Now, chances are, you know, that when I was a little kid and I first heard about, a homosexual, you know, like men with men or women with women, what was my reaction? Ew. And, that's the reaction of little kids everywhere. And so that should tell you something. You know, that while little kids aren't perfectly innocent, I believe that they are closer to their common sense and they're closer to their innocence. Therefore, they're closer to God. That doesn't mean that they're perfect. They're far from it. There is this concept of being born in sin, but their reactions are closer to their innocence than what, you know, adults have been kind of adulterated. And so that's how come parents will oftentimes try to screw with their kids' perceptions because the kids are closer to innocence. And they'll try to screw with their kids' perceptions so that they don't see what they see. It's kind of like I was reading an article earlier about Venezuela, and they're wanting to, Hugo Chavez wants to eliminate opposition, eliminate criticism, because people see what he is. There's a certain segment of the population of Venezuela is able to see what Hugo Chavez is, but he wants to control their thoughts. He wants to control everyone's thoughts. He doesn't want those thoughts expressed. So shut them up, it'd be like putting duct tape on a kid's mouth so that they can't say what they think. Sometimes people will take little kids into, like places they shouldn't, like take them into bars or take them into God knows what kind of places they take them into, where maybe there's nude dancing or something. And the little kids will just almost naturally cover their own eyes. Now, why do they do that? Why do they do that? Just think about that. And that'll tell you, if you got any brains at all, got any common sense at all, that will tell you why that, common sense is common sense. And what all this, we can jump through all kinds of little intellectual hoops and try to live by a series of rules, sort of ignoring the spirit of common sense. So anyway, let's listen to the rest of this clip that Michael Moss sent.
So they do this game called Science or Fiction, not science fiction, but Science or Fiction. And he comes up with three stories, and one of them is fiction and the other two are science. And they're really tough to tell sometimes because of the way he finds them and picks them and stuff. And so one of the ones that they had said that 25% of all animals, that science had, a study had recently confirmed that up to 25% of animals, or 25% of animals, had characteristics distinguishing them as having homosexual relations or something. I forget how it was worded, but basically that they did things that were homosexual in nature. And so this caught the skeptics. And the reason it caught them was because it sounded like, they said probably there is that aberration in there. Well, actually, the real number was close to 100%. And it actually made sense to me. Because if what's normal for human beings is to be heterosexual, but there are some of us that are homosexual, then it's a genetic thing. Mother Nature likes a lot of variety. It helps us adapt. So why wouldn't she like just as much, or wouldn't God like just as much variety in all species to help them adapt as needed? He would. Mother Nature would, or God would, however one you look at it. It would be that way. And in fact, it is. Almost all animals have homosexual populace for one reason or another. And they gave an example of a case where the males were killed off and the females had been impregnated, and so two females got together and helped raise each other kids, where normally the male and the female would raise the chicks. But instead, the two females made it up, I mean, not mated, but, got together and did what normally a male and female would do. and that was considered homosexual behavior in the animals. You know, it's all out there. I mean, there is homosexual behavior, probably in...
I disagree. I don't think that's really homosexual behavior. Just because, you know... Well, let's say you have a black widow spider. You know, the little tiny male spider mates with the female spider, and then all, you know, and then the female spider immediately turns around and kills the male spider. You know, the small, you know, because they're the male spiders, the black widow spider species, they're small, and, you know, and of course the females are larger. And the females kill the male spider. Right after the female's been impregnated, and so, you know, which, you know, whatever insect or animal, you know, it's usually, because insects are usually they're probably the most interesting, although there can be some animals, you know, actual, you know, mammals and, you know, different fish and what have you that are pretty interesting as well, birds, but insects can be pretty interesting. And so I don't, you know, just because they kill the males off, whatever species this is, and then the females raise the young, that's not really homosexual behavior. You know, it's not, you know, I think really more than anything what homosexual behavior is in human beings is probably the sex act itself. And so, but again, human beings, why do we, you know, if it's perfectly natural, if something's perfectly natural, then why do we feel guilty? And don't come back and say, well, it's because society says that, you know, that we should. Because society says a lot of things, you know, that society, we've been preached to for how many years that abortion is normal, you know, since Roe versus Wade, and, you know, and so that, and abortion, you, if you got any sense at all, you can look and you can see that it's wrong. It's murder. You're killing a human being. And, you know, that's murder. You know, you can call it a fetus and God knows what else you want to do and pass laws all day long that try to make it and declare it to be normal. But the fact of the matter is, it's murder, and no matter what you, how you twist it, or even try to outlaw people saying it's murder, it's still murder. So anyway, let's go on.
Every animal. So could it be said that it's unnatural because the definition of that word is against nature, if in fact nature has it in spades? But it's not the rule, obviously. It's not natural for procreation, but as a lifestyle, it's there, it exists. And it isn't a mutation. So scientifically, that was a rather interesting study, I thought. So I'd be interested in the actual definition of why, what makes a marriage? Because if it's natural or if it's God, there's a couple of interesting things to think about. I'd love to hear from you on that.
Okay, now marriage, you know, apart from, you know, and what's in the Bible, marriage traditionally has been, you know, we've got a legal definition of it that we've always had, you know, thousands of years of civilized history that we know about, recorded history, thousands of years of recorded history, we've had this idea that, and, you know, it's the law. You know, basically marriage revolves around the law. Men, you know, it's always been between male and female, men and women. Animals, the fundamental difference between animals and human beings, animals cannot sin. There's no such thing as an animal that can sin. It cannot sin. It just does what it does. It has its instincts, and, you know, one animal can kill another one, and it's not murder. You know, you can have a, you know, one animal can eat another one, kill it, or just kill it and eat it, or whatever, and it's not murder. An animal can kill a human being, and it's not murder. You know, so an animal, you know, animals have no, there's no moral guidelines for animals. For, you know, you can take even a, you know, a gorilla or a chimpanzee. There's not, that they have no, they are under no moral laws. They have no concept of what's right and wrong. They just have their instincts. And so that's the fundamental difference between human beings and animals, because human beings have this thing called conscience. And, you know, and so that's where our ideas come from. Conscience sort of is where our ideas come from about marriage and, you know, marriage being between a man and a woman, and then we have our man-made laws. Our society has, you know, thousands of years, our societies, our laws that we've made, man-made laws, have sanctioned marriage between men and women. Now, you can kind of twist that around, as, you know, as like we're kind of doing today, and, you know, and why not? If men can marry men and women can marry women, then why can't I marry a dog, for example, or a dolphin, or a cow? You know, what's to stop me? Or why can't I marry six women instead of just one? Or six women and six men? Why not? What's to stop me? You know, so it, you know, so I don't know. It's a whole can of worms. But the one thing that you have to remember is that it takes a male and a female to reproduce, and that's true of human beings as well.
All right, folks, there it is. Basically, as the title of this file elucidates, definition of marriage. Let's get together on this topic. I'll pull the responses together. Might even do a Facebook poll on this one. I'm not sure just yet, but I just might do that. And we'll bring this together on a future edition of the Posticast. That's the topic for now. We'll leave this out here for a little bit, and we'll go from there. Like I said, this will be on the link we posted on my Facebook page. It'll be on Plain Dudes Radio group page. And it'll be here on the Posticast feed. So I'd love to hear from you. Thanks, everybody, and we'll see you next time.
All right. Well, thank you, Michael. That's from Michael Moss. And let's see, probably better be cutting this off so I can get headed to bed. Hope everyone had a great weekend. Hope you have a great week coming up. And I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.